Hello and welcome to episode 67 of the First and Goal podcast. I am Ben Roberts, joined by Sim Longa. And Sim, it was an outcome over the weekend in Ann Arbor that we're all too accustomed. However, I would say I came away fairly impressed just with kind of the response from this Purdue team. I know they didn't get the win, and at the end of the day, that's what matters. But you know, still a lot of questions on the offensive end, but you know, overall the team effort in Ann Arbor this weekend, it's hard not to be impressed with the performance they had in a 21-16 loss over the weekend.
Yeah, man, I agree. I think that, you know, at the end of the day we want wins, because you know, why lose when you could win? But you definitely have to. There is something to be said about the effort and the fight that this team had against Michigan over the weekend. It just I think it's just kind of an issue they've run into against, especially some of the better competition that they face, is just kind of like, you just, you know, you don't have the guns, you know, you don't have the weapons to be able to seal the deal, to be able to, you know, to make that extra play. But honestly, especially to the defense, man, I think that they, you know, they were able to force a few turnovers. I believe they forced a couple turnovers, you know, getting a pick in the red zone as well, which is big, because, you know, that immediately takes points off the board. And they were really in it all the way to the end. I mean, even when that last touchdown, you know, you get the touchdown and go down 16-21, you try to go for two. And then, you know, you're truly speaking, you're really a stop away from having the ball to at least be able to go down and tie, or, you know, obviously with a chance to win. And I know you had mentioned it on the last time we had chatted, but I mean, last time we were on the pod, but Michigan wasn't going to, they weren't going to run away from us. I think unless we got extremely charitable with the football, I just didn't see them running away from us. And I know you spoke about that specifically. And yeah, man, it was just, it's still like, this is one of those games where, like, yeah, you said, there's no, like, we're not taking like moral victories out of this. But again, it just, for everything that this team has been through over the past, what, 6-7 weeks, this was still like a nice effort and a nice game to see in terms of like the effort. Like, I know I was locked into the game the whole time, still feeling the emotions, you know, highs and lows, and getting frustrated as though this team was actually 6-2 and not 2-6. So, yeah, kudos to the boys for that.
Yeah, so it felt like the game really turned late in the first half, after the Boilermakers were able to get that interception. I think it was Hines with a really nice undercut route in the red zone, which unfortunately gave them bad field position, and they weren't able to do much with it, which has kind of been a theme with the offense, especially after turnovers, how much they've struggled to really do anything with those turnovers. And then you just, like, the absolute worst time for a shank punt from McAllister. Just one of probably the worst punt he's had all season.
Right.
And Michigan's able to go down and score right before half. Just really felt like that kind of took the wind out of the sails a little bit after you had that momentum with the interception.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. I mean, to get that interception, and like you said, I haven't looked into the actual stats, but I'm curious to see like what our points off of turnovers have been, because I believe we went 3-and-out right afterwards. And, you know, it just feels like when we turn the ball over, it's so much more damning. Like, you know, it's almost like when we turn the ball over, you can almost be assured that a team's getting at least a field goal out of it. But for us, it's just, we're not able to take advantage of them the way that you would hope, especially because turnovers haven't been a premium, like in terms of us generating turnovers on the defensive end. And then when you compound that with the punt, I believe Michigan actually got the ball back and they were still in their own territory. So yeah, like you said, then they get a second chance to basically try to finish off the drive that they had just done, and then they were able to do so. And so yeah, so then you go into the half and you're down 14-7 when reasonably you could have probably just been tied at 7. Or, you know, if you're able to put a drive together on offense, you might be up 10-7. And again, that's just it, those, I feel like it's, and you know, I guess, Ben, I want to get your thoughts on this. It feels like in a lot of these closer games, like, we truly have been a play, like a handful of plays away from it being Purdue who was like, you know, who like from it being Purdue who wins, or at least you're just putting yourself in a better position. Like I think about the Rutgers game, you're up, what was it, 7-0, 7-3, and you're driving to I think it was 7-0, you're driving, you're in the red zone, you're goal to go, and we kick the field goal to go to 10-0, and it's like, man, but if you can score and go up 14-0, you know, I think the same thing happened against Illinois. Obviously, we know with Minnesota where, you know, you throw the pick in the red zone, you know, at literally at the goal line on the trick play. It just feels like in all of these games, we've just been like a handful of plays away from like, no, like, damn, this game kind of swings on this shit, or, you know, you're able to close the deal in the fourth if you're able to make this play.
No, and I think that's one of the like most frustrating things about this team is that, to your point, you know, they seem to be right there, and they just can't make enough plays. Like even in the Minnesota game, you know, it's the pick six also. You know, it's just turnovers or kind of big plays. You know, here in this game, man, like you're able to make a couple of big plays defensively, but then like the defense still gives up 185 yards to Jordan Marshall, and three touchdowns, and like one, like I just boggles my mind how he scored. He like it was like it looked like it was gonna be a gang tackle of like five or six Boilermakers, you're just waiting to hear the whistle blow, and then next thing you know, he's running out of that and runs into the end zone.
Right.
And it's things like that. And it's not all on the defense, because the offense didn't do nearly enough either. But you know, it's just kind of plays like that. And then, you know, what we just alluded to, like where the defense gets the turnover, but then you have arguably the worst punt of the year, at the worst time. Like things like that just kind of add up. And yeah, man, like it stinks because, you know, you don't want to each week talk about moral victories, because at the end of the day, you got to get some actual wins. But, you know, I think there's a lot of credit that needs to be given, like specifically to Coach Odom, and the staff for like keeping this team engaged. And keeping this team, you know, battling, it'd be real easy for these guys to kind of throw in the towel. And it doesn't seem like that's going to happen. Whereas, you know, you saw that last year. And, you know, you can just tell the difference. And, you know, you just got to keep telling yourself as a fan, patience, you know, because it does seem like that they got the core pieces there. And you know, it sounds weird with a team with two wins, but it seems like in games like this, I'm confident that they have the right man for the job.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point in terms of like with the coaching staff, and how they've continued to keep guys engaged and keep it like you know getting to a point where like, look, we're still playing for something. You know, we might not have got like have the wins to show for it, but like every week we're step like you know we're stepping out on the field and we're playing for something. There's an opportunity, you know, to I guess to have one more glimmer of you know to I don't say hope, but just have one more time to celebrate, you know, something from this past season, from the season. And yeah, I just it does give me hope in terms of moving forward, because you know you have to remember is what 81 or 84 new you know 84 new faces for Purdue this year. And so you'd like to think that when you have a little bit of stability and you have better retention year over year, and if you're able to get better in a few areas, that you know these plays that we've been talking about that we weren't able to make, whether that's on offense or on defense, that you know you'll be able to make them, because it seems like structure wise, system wise, there is a lot of potential, I think, with what Coach Odom and his staff have. I really, really do believe that. It's just been unfortunate this year that it hasn't materialized into wins the way that we've wanted to. But like you said too, like in terms of the eye test this year versus last year, like you said, you're seeing fight, you know, all four quarters. Last year, I think there were times, and even prior years when you've had bad Purdue teams, you can see when it kind of seems like the will has been broken. And so, yeah, I mean, that again, it's, I'm glad that we're actually out here trying to draw some positives out of this situation. Cause yeah, it has been a rough last couple months, but yeah, man, I think there's still a lot you can take from a game like you had on Saturday and be able to hold on to, like, hey man, like we can build from here. Like it's not all bad. Like the record might not be great, but like it's, this has an ability to turn around.
No, I agree. And one last thing kind of on football before we switch gears there. Did want to just touch on it. Odom did officially announce in his press conference today that senior running back Devin Mockabee is done for the year with an ankle injury. And man, just a really tough blow for we've talked seems like week after week about just how much of fans we are, kind of how he really embodies the Boilermaker spirit. He was one of the guys that stuck around and really kind of helped Coach Odom and the staff kind of navigate things early on. And it really stinks because you were just like hoping, you were watching him climb up the record books. I don't think he was going to get to Mike Allstott's record, but he definitely had a shot of being number one in career rushing attempts. But it just stinks, man. Wish him the best in his recovery, but just a real kind of brutal blow for kind of the team and really the offense losing their best weapon.
Yeah, man. No, absolutely. I mean, how many times have we sat here on this pod and been talking about, hey, yeah, good things happen when you get the ball to 45. So, you know, honestly, myself, I actually forgot I forgot that he even had gotten injured last week. I can remember when it happened, but I don't know why, for whatever reason, I didn't think it was that bad. So then when I found out he wasn't playing, I was like, oh, that's not great.
Oh, that's not great.
And the fact that, you know, now in retrospect, like you said, it's the last game that he's ever gonna play in a Purdue uniform. That's, yeah, it is heartbreaking because, like, even though like he wasn't gonna get to the top of maybe all the records like we were kind of hoping would be or was even kind of possible going into this year, you wanted him to be able to finish out the season, you know, and at least kind of in his own way, kind of go out on his shield of like having an opportunity to play all the way through those games, like playing all of those games to where he could have racked up stats, you know, as high as possible. So maybe he is sitting, you know, two in one category, three in another. As you mentioned with the attempts, he's probably going to end up being, you know, like, you know, number one in career rushing attempts. So yeah, for a guy who like bleeds gold and black all the way through, it's really, it is a, it's an unfortunate ending to his playing time here. I think on senior day though, he's gonna get a massive ovation though.
As he should. And hopefully, we'll see him still around the program. And I would anticipate as he gets ready for the NFL draft, and everything related there, we'll see him around campus. But just a real tough blow there. Again, just want to wish him the best of luck in his recovery. Odom did say that he had a minor procedure done on Friday. So hopefully, he can get back to being healthy in time for, everything related to the draft there. So, look forward to seeing him and kind of see what the future holds there for Mock.
Yeah.
But let's switch gears, Sim. Let's talk about some uplifting, positive stuff here. And that's the volleyball team, man. These ladies, I tell you what, Coach, Shondell and these ladies just they have a knack for living on the edge
Oh,
in a
bro, I
couple
say.
really, really exciting matches over the weekend. Starting off in East Lansing on Friday, a game in which they got off to a really hot start. They took the first two sets in pretty dominating fashion. And then the Spartans battled back to force a fifth set, in which the Boilermakers were able to take 15 to 12. But just starting with that one, Simon, we'll talk about Michigan here in a sec, but specifically this one in East Lansing, just another overall impressive team win. Like you look through all these stats and like there's just so many like record setting or career highs, like just a really, really good performance up and down the roster.
Yeah, no, I mean, like you said, they have a tendency to want to live on the edge, and like, I mean, look, it's lit whenever you win, but for my health, please don't. But like you said, man, it just continues to speak to, I think, the camaraderie, the resilience of this Purdue volleyball team, man. The fact that they could start off so well, have a couple bad sets, but still be able to then, hey, look, in the fifth, we still have an opportunity to kind of right the ship and get it right. And still be able to come out with the win. Yeah, like you said too, they continue to have multiple ladies who just continue to step up. It's really, really, I mean, they hit overall as a above 300 as a team, and I know earlier in the year they had a game against Tennessee where they hit, I believe, around or under 200. So I mean, even this team has continued to get better throughout the year, and I think the resiliency and the that they showed early on has only gotten stronger as we're getting later in the season, because it probably could have been pretty easy on the road to lose two straight. Going into that fifth, Michigan State's got all of the momentum, and you're able to just recollect and get yourselves together and step up and play like at the time the number 10 team in the country. I believe now they're number 9. Yeah, it was just good shit. Good shit for the ladies.
Yeah, and I'm gonna go through just a few of these stats, but I know just because you brought up the Tennessee match, doesn't that seem like so long ago?
Bro. There's so
seems
much
like
momentum across the board.
it was just just a couple months back, but man, it seems like it had been a while. But I digress. Starting off like Taylor Anderson, who was coming off Big Ten Setter of the Week. Dish out 51 assists, 5 blocks, 5 kills, 4 digs, and an ace. Kenna Wallard had 26 kills to lead all players. Ryan McClee, after an awesome performance against Minnesota, where she had a 22 dig performance, which was a career high in Big Ten matches. Then she comes right back and gets 23 digs against Michigan State. I mean, it's just up and down the roster, man. Just a really good performance. And then they turned right around, Sim, and went to Ann Arbor. And man, like we talked about, I don't know what it is, but these ladies live on the edge. They got another reverse sweep in Ann Arbor on Sunday. They fell down, and they really did not play very well in those first two sets, especially that second set, losing 25 to 17. And then they were just able to really bounce back in those last three. Just a really, again, another impressive win. They remain undefeated on the road, which is pretty impressive. And now 19-3 overall and 10-2 in the Big Ten in sole possession of second place.
Yeah. Like you said, that second set losing 25-17, you're sitting there thinking, oh, okay, here we go. Like this is here's the I guess the letdown game, kind of like I think the first Illinois match was, where it was kind of like, hey, you shouldn't lose that game, and you do. And this kind of would have been the one, especially on the road, it could happen. But yeah, I mean, in the latest batch of theater, just a reverse sweep, which I think it bodes well for this team again in terms of that resiliency. You just kind of know, look, until the other team gets to that third set and they get to that match point, they get that match point in the third set, we still have a chance. We still have a fighter's chance. And they were able to turn it around and seemingly, control the, won the next three sets rather comfortably. So shout out to the ladies, man. Keep racking up the wins. And obviously, I think Nebraska is the head of the class in the Big Ten, but them being second, that is nothing. It's nothing to sleep on. And I think in terms of tourney seeding too, that's going to bode really well for them if they're able to hold on to this.
Yeah, and just a nice win. Like when you look kind of across the country over the weekend, man, there was upsets everywhere. And it was a pretty wild weekend. But for the ladies to, just kind of go on the road and pick up those two victories, just kind of speaks to how well they have been playing there. And they'll now return home for a four-game homestand, actually. So they can kind of build on this winning streak with a couple of matches over the weekend against Penn State and Iowa on Friday and Saturday night, respectively. So, really exciting stuff there. And shout out, like you said, to the ladies for keeping things entertaining. I think I saw where that is their third reverse sweep this year, which is a new record. So they definitely like to keep things interesting.
Yeah, no, just they're looking at the schedule now. It's their third straight win in five sets. So they beat Minnesota in five, Michigan State, Michigan, all got beaten five. So yeah, they're definitely making sure they keep their that it's exciting and it's engaging. And honestly, if you attended, I mean, you're really getting your money's worth because you're maxing out on the amount of volleyball you can see. So I mean, honestly, that's kind of the humanitarian side of that Purdue women's volleyball team. So shout out to them.
So, shout out to them. They're now on a six-game winning streak. And again, they'll look to build on that this weekend as they return home for matches against Penn State and Iowa. But Sim, before we wrap things up, we got to talk a little hoops, man, because the regular season has officially started in college basketball. I feel like Purdue has a little bit of a FOMO happening right now, is they're one of the few teams that not tipping off here on opening night. But I guess we're saving the best for last here, as the Boilermakers get ready to tip off against Evansville on Tuesday in Mackey. We've talked about it, how it's just nice to be here. But after watching a few of these games, man, it's like, oh shoot, now it's like real, real.
Yeah, and I think as when you start seeing the highlights and you start watching more games, you start to it's like the anxiety really starts to kick in because look, we're up next. Our start to the season is right around the corner, and obviously as we're recording this, we're less than 24 hours away from it. But yeah, man, I'm excited to get the season underway, man. I think like obviously Purdue has high expectations, but I think we've talked about this before, like. Really important for all of us to just try to enjoy the season as it is, because it'll be over before we know it. And despite what the high expectations are, you want to just try to live in the moment and enjoy each game as it happens. So hopefully though, tomorrow Evansville understands what the action is. It's got to be belt ass. Because also too, we do want some stress-free games before it gets very stressful. So please and thanks in advance, Evansville.
Yes, please. Don't want to be like Auburn, who had to go to overtime tonight against Bethune-Cookman. We don't need any overtime games right now. Let's
Sure as hell
just
don't. Sure
handle
as
our
hell don't.
business. But it'll be the first time in program history where the Boilermakers start off as number one ranked in the country. So, to your point, expectations probably, way too high.
Wait, did they not lose the number one ranking after losing to Kentucky? That
Who
was.
also lost, but
Oh, okay.
no, but
Sorry.
like every preview, I feel like I read, every writer, everybody has Purdue in the Final Four and the Natty. So, it's really high expectations. But, like we talked about, like to this team's credit, they're fully embracing it. And, they are owning it. And it'll all get started Tuesday night in Mackey against Evansville. The first time honestly that they've played in 20 years since Matt Painter's first year at Purdue in 2005, back when you and I were both in high school. So it's been a minute, but
Hold.
just really excited to kind of see this team out there. And Sim, after the final exhibition game last week, we talked about kind of what we wanted to see, and we saw a lot of what we want to see specifically on the offensive side. Guys bounce back shooting the ball. I think they made 15 threes. It'll be interesting to see. For me, the big thing I'm looking at is how the big men play. Daniel Jacobson and Oscar Clough. I know Clough has gotten off to a slow start. And I think there's a lot of things that can kind of attribute to that. He's at a brand new school. He got there a little late with the visa issues and all of that. So, he's kind of behind the eight ball a little bit. But, it's going to be interesting to see kind of, especially in these early games, if he can really kind of get settled in before things, to your point, get real. But both the big men are going to have their hands full as they go up against 6'10" forward Connor Turnbull, the Missouri Valley Conference Defensive Player of the Year last year, and also was their fourth leading scorer, scoring 9 points a game. So for me, Sim, that's kind of the big matchup to watch is, how DJ and Oscar go up against Connor Turnbull there.
Yeah, man. Especially like you mentioned with Oscar, it's just obviously it's not time to panic because he didn't have two good exhibition games. But obviously now that the season's starting, you kind of want to start to see him trending in the right direction. And like you said, he gets a pretty good test coming out the gate. I think with Dan with Daniel, the thing we all want to see is just kind of like in terms of his size and where he was last year versus this year, how is he able to impact the game. I think we've seen glimpses of what it can be in terms of like obviously altering shots at the rim, actually blocking shots and making people and making people kind of reconsider attacking the basket. But then there's also the hey, well, how do you guard when someone's when you've got a guy who might be a little smaller than you but is bigger than you, how are you defending in the post? Like how do you hold up there? So yeah, I definitely think kind of seeing the way that the bigs get along will be important. I'm curious with Oscar if they don't try to just kind of run a few plays for him out the jump just to kind of get him involved offensively, if you don't run a few plays and just like, look, we're just going to go to Oscar as option number one and hopefully he can get a bucket to kind of get himself feeling right and getting going. So that would be interesting. For me, I'm kind of just interested to see the kind of the overall rotations. We haven't heard anything about any like additional red shirt news. So, I mean, at this point, I'll think, okay, well, like everyone can probably play. but I think seeing from like when you like with the starters and then probably maybe those first batch of substitutions, and then for sure, like because Purdue tends to, in terms of the second half, like kind of if there's any adjustments that are made, I'm just kind of curious to see who at this point of the season has kind of won more of the real minutes, like now that these games are gonna count.
No, I agree. And I think that's a really good call out for Oscar too. If they could try to get him established early on, and kind of get him going there. I won't ask for any kind of score prediction or anything like that. Instead, I'm gonna put the over under on DJ lob dunks at 2.5. Does that go over or under tomorrow, Tuesday night?
Over.
Over? Okay.
Yeah. I think he'll get, because I think he'll get two in the regular flow of the game. And then what hopefully Purdue has put it, you know, well out of reach, that I think he'll get one more. Three.
I'm with you. I think it's over as well, and I'm right there with you on the reasoning too. I think he's going to get some extended minutes late in the game, and I think he'll get one early from Braden. I think they're going to look to have kind of a set play and get the crowd kind of hyped there. But I'm with you. That'll be just one thing, man. I'm really excited to see kind of throughout this year is just how many lob dunks is he going to get? Because I think Daniel could legit lead the NCAA just in field goal percentage just from all the lob dunks that he's going to get.
Right. Yeah, because I mean the passes can come from anybody on that floor, man. Like I've seen enough highlights. Saw them go from Oscar, from TKR, Braden, Fletch. Everybody's been throwing them. So I mean, like if you're look out below.
So we will see what happens. Again, it all tips off for real on Tuesday evening. It'll be on Big Ten Network. Kevin Kugler and Robbie Hummel will have the call. So it'll be really fun to have those guys back. Probably two of my favorite guys to have. You know, if we can't get Benetti on there, you know, Kevin is one of the good ones, as well. There's a long list of guys on there, so it'll be nice just to hear that. And you know, no offense to Big Ten Plus or anything like that, but to have kind of those guys back will be nice to hear. But it'll tip off 6:30 p.m. Gotta think Mackey is gonna be rocking, man. You know, I'm sure. Heck, the students might be lined up now.
Right. Camping out.
Just from anticipation.
And
But
also, yes offense to Big Ten Plus every time.
you said it, not me.
Oh, lock in. God damn.
Excited to have those two guys on the call, and really just excited that the game will be back. Regular season tip off Tuesday evening. Mackey Arena, Evansville, and the Boilermakers. We will be back later this week to break it all down, and also look ahead to this weekend as the Boilermakers take on number one Ohio State at Ross-H Stadium. So
Football.
lots of fun stuff to talk about there. But win or lose, we'll be here to break everything down. Want to thank everybody for all their continued support, but most importantly, Boiler up.
Yes, sir.